Now to Thailand, where months of protests turned violent today. At least four people, including police and protesters, were killed as hundreds of riot police attempted to clear out anti-government protest sites around the capital city of Bangkok. Dozens more were injured. Meanwhile, in another blow for the current government, Thailand's anti-corruption body said today it would file charges against the embattled Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawat over a controversial rice subsidy scheme. The BBC's Jonathan Head is following both stories and joins us from Bangkok. And Jonathan, the police had said they would not use force to clear out these protesters, but what did you see today?
In one area I saw, they were still negotiating through megaphones with these protesters behind their sandbag barricades, yelling at each other, but avoiding a clash. In another area, the police did move in. They actually managed to grab one of the protest leaders. There were then physical clashes with the police firing tear gas, firing rubber bullets from shotguns and pushing the protesters back with batons. At that point, there was gunfire from the protesters' side, live rounds. One policeman was hit in the chest and died. Another was hit in the head. And a grenade was then thrown. It flies in, hits the shield of the police, who are all lined up with their riot shields. When one of the police officers realised what it was, he tried to kick it away, but it exploded as his leg made contact with it. So we had some serious injuries among the police then. And after that, the police at that point used live rounds to drive the protesters back. And we saw a lot of protesters hit by automatic weapons fire. Some of them with very serious gunshot injuries. It's left it one of the bloodiest days of this long and difficult conflict, with four people dead at the end of the day.
And long and difficult, as you just said, protesters have been occupying some of these sites for weeks, even months. Is there a sense as to why it's tipped into violence now?
I think the government's losing patience. It's really run out of options to dislodge a movement that has very powerful backing. I mean, we see a lot of ordinary people joining these protests. A lot of Bangkok's middle class don't like the government. They don't like its extravagant policies that support the rural poor. It doesn't like the authoritarian nature of the government. Even though it's an elected government, they say it rides roughshod over the opposition. These grievances are long and have been there a long time. But these ordinary middle class protesters have joined a movement that was started by some very hardcore royalists, some real conservative elements, some of them close to the army, that had absolutely determined the family of Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawat should be driven from politics. Now, it's hard to explain to people why these feelings are so strong. You should hear some of the language out there, but it's very, very emotional. And it is partly to do with the complicated issue of the royal succession. The king is very, very old and frail. There's a lot of unease about the succession, which should go to his son, the crown prince, who doesn't enjoy anything like the affection his father does. But it's such a delicate time that these conservative elements do not want a populist, successful elected party to be dominating politics in the way that the Prime Minister's party does at a time like this. And that's why they've put their weight behind this protest movement. You've got the army giving her no support at all, the police under orders from the army not to risk bloodshed. And that's why for weeks and weeks we've seen the police more or less stand back and let these protesters take over entire parts of the city, because they know that bloodshed risks a military coup. Well, the government tried to hold an election to renew its mandate earlier this month. It probably would have won it, but the protesters were able to disrupt it to the extent that nobody can form a new government now. We don't have a proper government because parliament's been dissolved. And I think all that frustration finally persuaded the government to try to use its police force to get back some ground. That simply didn't work. The protesters were very determined. Their defences are very, very strong. And some of them, as we saw today, are clearly well-armed. Mm.
And Jonathan, I wonder if you might help us take a step back here and look at, for example, the larger picture in terms of the government, because so much of this unrest, as you've been saying, has been going on for years, you know, dating back to the ouster of the current prime minister's brother by a military coup. I mean, there's quite a family story being told here in terms of the leadership of Thailand as well.
Yeah, it's a family story and it's also a political story. The protesters are very beguiled by the figure of Thaksin Shinawat, the Prime Minister's brother. He's a very abrasive, very ambitious man. He's extremely wealthy, but he also shaped a new political party that used modern methods to appeal to the ordinary rural poor who never voted in any kind of pattern before. And he appealed directly to them with well-marketed policies that, like universal health care and microcredit schemes. And he's won this bedrock of loyalty among a population that's big enough to guarantee him election victories. That turned Thai politics on its head. all the traditional power brokers in Bangkok, who are close to the big businesses, close to the royal palace and close to the military, have found that their party, the Democrats, I mean, opposition party, simply can't beat him. But he really frightens them. And certainly he had a lot of black marks against him on human rights issues, on corruption issues. But because they can't beat him at elections, they're putting their weight behind this protest movement in the hope that they can create enough political paralysis, either to force the military to intervene, although the army says it doesn't want to, its last coup didn't reflect very well on its ability to govern the country, or perhaps intervention by top judges who are also hostile to the government, perhaps even senior royalists, to get an interim government of what they call good people, clean people, who could govern the country while they reshape the political system to try to prevent its dominance by a very successful elected politician like Mr. Thaksin and, of course, his sister, Prime Minister Yingluck.
And finally, Jonathan, now that things have tipped over into the disturbing violence that you were describing earlier, where do you see this going? I mean, I don't imagine that anti-government protesters are going to just pack up and go home.
Well, they've made it very clear they won't. It's been their determination to stay is there, very visible today. It is going to be a war of attrition with movements on the street and a lot of negotiations behind the scenes to try to persuade the governing party that even though it can win elections, that it's got to compromise and share its power with the traditional elite who want to weaken the potential dominance of elected parties.
The BBC's Jonathan Head speaking to us from Bangkok. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, one other international story we're following today. President Obama will be in Mexico tomorrow to discuss a wide range of topics, including trade, commerce, and security. And in many parts of Mexico, security is the major concern. However, nowhere in the country are the challenges more daunting than in one of Mexico's western states, where civilian militias have been fighting a ruthless drug cartel. These stories and more coming up later today on All Things Considered. This is Here and Now.